I don't know what sort of insight I can give, to be honest. Like, he's an all-around good guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, as I said, like,
he's only a bollocks, is he?
He's trying to be nice.
What do you really want to be?
Joe presents House of Rugby, United Rugby Championship, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.
Welcome back to House of Rugby, brought to you with the support of our good friends at Bank of Ireland.
This week, we'll be looking at the international matches from the autumn series, including Ireland's phenomenal win over Japan.
And today, we're also joined by a Leinster and Ireland legend, Mr. Devon Toner. Devon, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks, guys.
We've got some questions coming in from social media later on, but before we get into that, like, let's look back on the weekend's action.
Yeah, let's look at the game of the weekend for us, Ireland versus Japan. It was 60 points they scored. It was amazing, wasn't it, guys?
Yeah, phenomenal game. Really good.
Yeah, what'd you make of the game, Dev?
Yeah, it was brilliant. A great start to the autumn series. It's always good to get a good game like that under your belt, especially with obviously what's coming around the corner. It was really good to see lads just getting into a stride and getting some really good tries in, I suppose. Yeah, no, so it was really pleasing to see in all aspects.
What do you think of the pace of the game that they've been showing us? Because it was such a high tempo. Would you be familiar, would be used to that kind of tempo from the Irish team?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like, I think any fast-paced rugby is really good. And like, I suppose what they're trying to do is trying to get over the game line and try and get quick rook ball every single time. Do you mean? Mm-hmm. So the next phase will be quick and you just keep on top of them. And I think the pack carried really well. Like, we're always kind of winning them collisions, winning the rook ball. And then Jemison was able to play on top of them and do what he does best, as in he was able to see the holes and obviously run them. And he did really well. So it's just that really quick rook ball was so key for everyone.
Like, a huge offloading game as well that we've seen from them, which we haven't done in kind of in the past. Even the forwards looking like centres. Really exciting to watch. A lot of the tries came, the 9 tries came back from the back line this time. Really exciting stuff.
I was actually at the game, and what I thought was new from Ireland was they were playing with a lot of freedom. Like, there were so many balls out the back. They kept doing the Johnny Sexton around the back, which is really nice to see them playing with that freedom. But I hope they bring that into next week now against New Zealand. Like, do you think they'll stiffen up against New Zealand, or do you think they'll just keep that lovely out the back kind of flair?
I think it'll be a different kettle of fish, to be honest. I think, obviously, being able to offload and being able to play out the back and all that stuff, it comes from winning collisions, first and foremost. Okay. I don't think Japan's will be happy with their defence, first of all. I don't think the first up tackles were great, and they were kind of, as I said, we won that first collision every single time, so we were able to get our hands free and do it. To see them do it against New Zealand, I'm not sure, but you'd love to be able to see them win collisions as well, but as I said, it'll be a different kettle of fish, I think.
The
moment of the game, I suppose, Johnny Sexton getting over for that try, you see a lot of emotion from Johnny in the past, but that kind of emotion is rare. And, I mean, you know, like, you know Johnny well, I mean, to get out, get his 100 cap and to score that try, it means a lot to him, I'd say, did it?
Absolutely. Like, he's a phenomenal player. He has been for Ireland. He's been phenomenal. Player, I suppose, like, I've known him since I was 16, playing our Leinster schools trials and stuff with him all the way up. And he's always been the same. He's always had that determination. He's always had that grit. He's been a phenomenal player, as I've said. And to do it with the crowds back, to do it in front of, in the Aviva, in front of his family and friends, was brilliant. And I'm sure he loved having his wife and kids in the stand as well, which is extra emotion.
Just on that, can I ask you on Johnny, like, I mean, we always see a lot about Johnny Sexton. We see how kind of so much of a leader he is. We see that he's like the ultimate professional. He always wants to win. We see so many emotions. Sometimes he's bitter and he's angry, but sometimes he's full of joy. But I think that's the first time we really saw that side of Johnny. I mean, we always hear about him as a player, and we all see him in the public in the newspapers, what he's like as a player. What's he like as a man? What's he like as a friend? What's he like as a dad? That's the side of Johnny Sexton we don't get to see. That I'm sure you do.
Like, I don't know what sort of insight I can give, to be honest. Like, he's an all-around good guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, as I said, like,
he's only a bollocks, is he?
He's trying to be nice.
What do you really want? Yeah. You know, again, like, he's good to be around. He's good crack. Do you know what I mean? He's on when he wants to be on. Like, he's kind of like, when he's training, he's on, and like, it's completely different as well. And when he's off the pitch, he wants a bit of crack. He's good fun to be around. Do you know what I mean?
So he's not always super serious.
No, not at all. Like, like he loves a beer. Do you know what I mean? He's good crack to be around, to be honest. Yeah.
So I think we've got a clip here from Johnny after the game, like speaking about his under game and the emotions and everything he went through.
Did some good stuff. Had a couple of mistakes that I'd like to iron out. But you know, the first game back is always it's a little bit rusty. Like, I mean, like, but like we've only had 3 or 4 sessions together, so to put out that standard of performance, I thought was a testament to the boys, to the management, to the work that we've done. You know, we did a tough week last week to make sure we were ready this week to do a proper test match week. And, you know, we got our rewards, I think, you know, to Japan. I don't think that's been done to them in a long time. So we're very, very pleased. But we know that there's a bigger test ahead next week.
I could not notice it. Like I said, it was a very special moment for me. Up there, like I said, the lads, the best moments of my career. Like it was incredible ovation. Then I saw my family in the where they were sitting. I knew where they were sitting before the game, and they were just smiling as well. So that was. Then I had to try and switch in and make sure I got the conversion, and I was probably more happy about that than anything. So look, it was very special moments throughout the game, leading your country out. For any game is special, but to do it today and to have a crowd back, like,
stuff.
You know, Johnny Sexton, I think, is playing some of the best rugby he's been playing, like, his whole career. I just think his availability now is something I actually said yesterday at the game. I was like, he's not getting as injured as he was before, so I'm really impressed with him. Do you think he'll stay on till the World Cup, or?
Like, he could.
Yeah.
He's 36 and he's been injury free for the last while. He's been playing great rugby, and like, I think he's great to have around any environment. He's great to have around the Leinster environment and the Ireland environment. Obviously, he's a great leader. But yeah, like, I'd say he definitely could if you wanted. Yeah.
I think he was disappointed not being selected for the Lions tour, but then ultimately it actually probably done him a lot of good going into these matches, because he's coming in really fresh. And like you said, injury free.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, really emotional. Yeah. It's nice to see that kind of side of him, mm-hmm. You know, a little bit softer, because he seems so tenacious and ambitious all the time,
that's
you know?
That's it.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Dev, I noticed as well, was the whole team yesterday was basically Leinster. Like, you know, you had your Tyburn and Andrew Conway, but you could argue that they're Leinster as well. So Bundy Key was kind of the only person in the whole starting lineup that was not Leinster. What do you make of that? Do you think Leinster are just too good and that's the way it should be, or?
It was actually 12 players. 12
careful
players.
Careful not what you say here. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't really be political about it.
I want your honest opinion, yeah.
I think the... Like, for Ireland, I think the best people should be picked, and it doesn't matter what team they play for. I think it's an added bonus that there was 12 players from Leinster, and because they played together for so long, they click, and you could see in the game that they just clicked and everything they were doing. So, like, I think it is just an added bonus, but it shouldn't be taken into account what team they play for. I think the best person should be picked.
Took a look into the other positions, but I was looking at Andrew Conway, the other guy who stood out the weekend, got himself a hat-trick. There's a guy that's kind of been in and out of the Ireland team that always performs for Munster, but he's kind of guy that he always seems to get run outs, games, starts against Japan and USA and whatnot, but already people are saying he'd be dropped for New Zealand again next week. I mean, I think, is that unfair, like, considering how well he played? I mean, you think he's the kind of guy that should be given an opportunity against New Zealand?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think he's a solid player. I think anytime he's gotten a chance, he's taking his chance. I think he scores an awful lot of tries, and he's especially for Munster and Ireland as well. So I think it would be unfair after scoring a hat-trick to not get a chance against them.
Definitely.
I think he played great, yeah.
The hat-trick was brilliant, but I think as well, you know, Japan's defence, like you touched on, was bad.
Mm.
You know, I thought there was going to be a lot more from Japan with what they've done before. Like, they've only actually played 3 matches since, you know, COVID and coming over to us. So, you know, I suppose you can say that they might have given James Lowe a little bit more of a run for their money, because putting him under a lot of pressure in defence, because they're saying that James's defence, you know, that's what his work on was. How do you think James Lowe got on this weekend? Andy Farrell was really honest in his opinion at the post-match interview.
Yeah, I think he did really well as well. Like, I think the whole team kind of just clicked as well, but I think James obviously has worked phenomenally hard on his game, and I think that game against Japan, it kind of worked for the type of player that he is. He loves getting involved. He loves getting on the ball. He's obviously he's working so hard around the back just to try to be that extra man. He's going to show up off Jemison's shoulder like at a ruck in the middle of the field, you know what I mean, and try and get on the ball. And I think he's such a big man for a winger. He wins them first contacts and he's able to get his hands free, and he's really good at getting the ball and at offloading as well. So I think he did really well at getting involved and getting into the game. As Andy Farrell said, he likes their wingers to get involved and get in the ball and just show up. Yeah.
Yeah. Andy Farrell seems to be happy with him.
I think we actually have the clip here. Yeah. We have the clip here.
I said to you during the week, all the lads that have took the field today, they've deserved the calls because of how we've seen the training over the last 12 days. And James had a little bit of a wake-up call and understood, went away and understood how he needed to prepare for international rugby. His preparation is through the roof in comparison to how it was before. He's learned the hard way. There's a few things that he needs to get better from today as well, but his attitude's in the right place. I'm sure that will happen, but he finds a way into the game. You know, he's not a tidy player, and neither do we want our wingers to be tidy players. He finds a way into the game. He's in great nick. He's lost a bit of weight. He's fit. I'm pleased for him today.
Really honest from Andy Farrell there, like a lot. So I love about him. But do you think he will start for Ireland next week against New Zealand? Do you think he did enough?
I think he will. I think it's kind of the same as Conway. I think it'd be unfair not to because he had such a great game. I think that he offers a lot more with his left boot as well. He's got a cannon of a left boot, so that's a good option for your exits as well. But I think he's grew up in New Zealand. He played for the Maoris. He knows New Zealand. They know him, I suppose, as well. But I think that'll be just that extra little bit of insider knowledge, maybe. So I think it'd be unfair if he didn't play as well.
Someone else we have to point out is player of the match, Jack Conan. I mean, what are you feeding about Leinster? Because he just seems to be getting... I mean, he was good in that Lions tour, but then he came out the weekend. He's just getting better and better. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's the past year or two, he's just gotten really good. I think ever since Caelan Doris came on the scene, he just saw him in the rear view mirror, and he kind of just kicked on a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think Jack's been playing phenomenal. I think again, he's able to win that first collision. He's able to keep the ball alive, and you just say he's got really great hands as well. You see for Bundy's try, it's simple, but just the catch and give. Do you know what I mean? It's just
makes it look simple, but exactly. that's the thing. Yeah. And he seems like a nice guy as well, which is a lot of plus. That's a plus. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you know, and after the problems he had with injury, like to come back from a really bad injury like and then to go on to this kind of form of getting in and starting three tests for the Lions, and then. I mean, I can see him doing serious damage against New Zealand next week if he plays the way he played at the weekend.
Yeah,
you know?
He's incredible. One of the best number 8s in the world, definitely at the moment. You mentioned Bundy's try. There was 9 tries from Ireland over the weekend. Was that your favourite one out of the bunch?
I think so, yeah. No, absolutely. Just because the lead up to it, I think it was a Tig who got the break, who popped at the ports, who and then they kind of went back out wide, and it's just everyone was involved.
Class.
Hands, I think it was Bomber, I think it was Conway who was making himself available as that extra man out the back. So he's able to, obviously, when you're defending, when the winger pops up, that's an extra man. It's kind of, it's hard to defend, obviously. And then just simple hands make it look easy. And Bundy was able to, obviously, a little step at the end, but he made it look easy as well. So I think it was a really, really good team try.
Great to see the skills from the props. Burst through that gap. He was moving
The All Blacks scored that try, like everyone be waxing lyrical all over the world. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of level of try it was. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've got, like I said, you've got guys in the tight five getting involved in those positions, throwing it in offloads and making breaks and then getting it out to the back line. And it's absolutely brilliant stuff, and it's great to see because it's something we don't see from Ireland.
Hopefully they keep it up.
They're making it look really easy, but what they're not making easy is the security at the matches. Java 69 back again, making his second appearance.
Ridiculous.
What's going on?
How is this guy getting into the game? So, and the planning that's going into it, like he's getting the gear made, buying the tickets, like
it's expensive hobbies.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And he's standing there for so long. I don't know if you saw the New Zealand game, but he's literally standing at the end of the line for a good few minutes.
Yeah.
And like the players know he's there. It's hilarious. But the other side of it is, what if he was a bit like a bit of a nutter? Like, you know what's going on? And,
we were having that chat. It is funny and stuff. I remember seeing like he's there and he has his hand on his chest, and but he also has his hand on his belly, and it's a laugh and a joke. But all seriousness, you know, I mean, you played Neviva big games. What if this guy's a nutter and he comes onto the pitch and he does something? I mean, has it ever happened to you where someone's come onto the pitch or?
Thankfully, no. Yeah. No. But like when we're, as a player, we're all given our lanyards. We're all given our security accesses. So I don't know how he's gotten through all that. Like,
twice,
is
2 weeks in a
fake
row.
Ones or, I don't know. Like, but it's ridiculous how he's actually getting onto the pitch. Yeah. Getting into the underground, first of all, like, or getting anywhere it's near. I don't know.
I think he's walking out of the stand, like getting out of a seat and just hopping the fence and walking onto the pitch. Oh, yeah, but I'm just glad he's not actually hurting any of the players, and it's a bit of a laugh, but security definitely needs to be tightened up.
Look, as we said, it could get more serious. Moving on to the Wales and South Africa game, obviously South Africa came out winners in the end there, but we had a pretty serious event in that game with, who wasn't at full back,
Liam Williams
was out on the wing, and Watchcaller tried to put Johnny McNichol was playing full back. Wasn't the best of passes, but as he chose to pass out, this guy runs onto the pitch, gets on. Two security guards have to tackle him. If you look at it, it's actually it ends up to the security guard guys that gets in the way of Liam Williams. Now, there might have been cover there in the end, right? Mm. That's not the point. Mm. First of all, he probably could have cost him a try, but second of all, that's in the middle of a play. That's dangerous. Something could have happened there. And what if this guy instead is wielding something or whatnot? I mean, the security needs to be sorted out, guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mad. There's a behind-the-scenes video going around of that guy as well, and he just strolled straight down the steps, hops the fence and walks onto the pitch. Like, they definitely need to look at their security here. Yeah. But Liam Williams was fuming. I'd say all the Wales are fuming as well, because they ended up losing by just one try, didn't they, in the end?
They were level, like, when this happened, like, and you're into the last quarter of the game, so, like, no one knows what would have happened if Liam Williams got, like, a clean pass there, and if he didn't, because he kind of has to spin into it to catch it, because your man gets in the way.
Do you think he would have scored it?
But that's what I'm saying, maybe, or, like, we'll never know, unfortunately. That's the problem. Like, and he could have cost his country a win against the world champions in Cardiff.
I think the Welsh team, though, were trying to sabotage the match anyway, because the night before that they were in the hotel, and there was two alarms went off, fire alarms, and the South Africans had to come down.
No way.
Yeah, from the alarms.
That's not... And stand outside the hotel, really?
Yeah, so it was only one of the guys tweeted it on Facebook. He was smiling and laughing about it. You know, he wasn't too bothered, so it's only a little joke.
You wouldn't do the Irish thing. If the fire alarm goes off, you just stay in your bed. Feel the floor if it's hot or not.
Yeah, I think it was a security thing, so I don't think they actually were going to sabotage it.
Looking at the game itself, I mean, like I said, like coming into that last quarter, Wales were level. But as usual, the bomb squad came off the bench. Mark's got the important try. I mean, to have a bench like they have, to be able to bring on like someone, Malcolm Marks was a hooker for any team in the world. And he comes off the bench and like he was the impact player. And they've got so many guys, like they had, I know the Snyman is out injured now, but they had guys like Snyman, like they have a full front row to come on, they've got full front five to come on. And then like they've got, you know, it's just ridiculous. Like, but I think Wales did enough to could maybe possibly win that game, couldn't they?
Yeah, they obviously played a lot better than they did last week. Yeah. They obviously learned a lot from themselves last week after that big defeat. So they obviously put it up against South Africa pretty well, but they're not the world champions for nothing. Do you know what I mean? So as you said, that bench is ridiculous coming on, and Malcolm Marks, as you said, is a phenomenal player. Like, so it's kind of hard. Like,
It's true.
Yeah. South Africa were very good because Wales got no tries. It was just six penalties, and I think most of them were right in front of the post as well for Dan Biggar. So, as you said, South Africa are world champions for a reason. Mm. And it's cool that Razzy Rasmus has created this mindset around the bomb squad. Like, you know, they're happy to be that bomb squad, where lads would usually be probably a bit upset that they're sitting on the bench. There's a good documentary called The Rising Sun, if you watch it.
Brilliant.
It's really good.
If anyone has seen that, it's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen.
It's incredible, a rugby documentary about South Africa's winning the World Cup, and their mindset is just, you can never write them off.
Yeah.
Which is obviously why they came on and then Malcolm Marks scored.
I think it was actually, when you look back really, it's kind of Eddie Jones that technically started that, because he's the guy that came along and said, you're no longer a replacement, you're a finisher. And you've got like, you see it now on some of the English Premiership teams, they've all got these different names. Like, you know, you're a finisher, or you're a bolter, or you're a bomber. So it's gone in the days like, you're our sub because you're not good enough. It's just like, no, like we prefer to bring you on at 55, 60 minutes.
Everyone has a role.
That's, that's still your role in the team. Like, at the end of the day, you're an international rugby player. Know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, And how, go on.
Good, I was going to say, how do you think England and Scotland will get on against the Springboks? Dev,
Yeah, obviously it remains to be seen. I think obviously we got to see how Scotland get on against Australia today. And then we'll obviously, England obviously had a phenomenal performance against Tonga. So, but again, they're world champions. You're never going to write them off. I think England in Twickenham is a very hard game, and they'll obviously be focusing on that game more than anything. I think for the South Africans, it's coming to an end of a very long year for them. So a lot of tired bodies. So yeah. I would say England have a very good chance to beat them. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
Yeah, and England were great in the weekend. I know they're going up against a very weak Tongan team. I think they scored 11 tries, England, but they were flying it. Like, I don't know if you got to see the match, Dev, but they were just all the wingers, all the back rows, they're all just flying, making breaks. So I do think they might put it up against the Saffers.
Yeah, no, obviously 11 tries in an international is pretty good. I didn't actually get to see the game.
Yeah,
I've got a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old at home, so we've got one game per weekend to watch.
Enough, yeah. I was looking at the game and he brought in Courtney Laws as captain, had another absolute storming performance. He left Marcus Smith on the bench with Farrell because people are complaining, why isn't Marcus Smith starting? He was actually carrying a knock during the week. So George Forback then went in at 10. Like, as I said, it was just like the big thing for me, the match that kind of drove me mad was that Viliami Fine red card. I saw some people online saying, what are you looking at? What are you saying? That's soft. Mm-hmm. Look at the clip. He puts a high tackle in, then he gets involved in afterwards and comes in on top of Marcus Smith. But as he comes in with his elbow on the ground and elbows him into the face like that, with force.
He took his own player out as well to get there.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought, like, I mean, I know rugby was a different sport, like, all those years ago, and there was all this niggle on the ground. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff's gone, and that's just stuff. I was just shocked when I saw it. Kind of, like, what are you thinking?
I was shocked, but, like, I can kind of understand where he was coming from as well. I know that sounds a bit odd, but do you know when you're losing that badly and you're heat at the moment, you're just really upset and angry and you just want to give someone a cheap shot? Like, that was a cheap shot. Now, I'm not a player like that. I don't think, but, like, do you know what I mean?
I kind of do, but, like, it's there's no really room for it in the game anymore. And, like, there's so many cameras, there's so many angles. Yeah. Like, I think, what about having a calm head on you? You need to be able to control it and you need to be able to understand that you're going to get a ban if you do it. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's... Yeah.
There's no more sneaky digs in a ruck anymore. No, like, those days are gone. No, there's no digs into the kidney. Yeah, that's gone. You know, as I said, you've got TMOs and everything. But Greg, you saw the game we were talking about before. And, like, I mean, anyone in particular impressed you?
Who really impressed me were the two wingers. Johnny May is obviously incredible. But then this new guy, Radwin, on the wing. I think it's only his second game for England, but he's unbelievable.
Rocket,
and he just kind of came out of nowhere. I think he plays for Newcastle Falcons. He's only 23. He's really impressed me, and it was great to see Manu Tuilagi back playing great again. He's been riddled with injuries over the last couple of seasons. Him back in the centre with Henry Slade, but look, Tonga weren't up to too much after when they got the red card. I think there was four tries running in against them. So really good England side, really impressive. But we'll see over the next couple of weeks now when they go up against them. The Springboks.
Yeah. What do you make of the number 8 situation with England? So I think this whole thing is a bit bizarre. He drops Billy Vunipola and then he's got a ready-made replacement in Sam Simmons, who's off the back of a Lions tour. Then he's got Alex Dombrand playing for Quinns, who was an absolute monster, but he decides to put Curry in at 8 and drops Simmons out of the squad altogether and put Dombrand on the bench. What's the thought process behind that?
I don't know. You want to know what Sam Simmons into him or something, wouldn't you? But, like, I don't know. Like, it's... Who knows? Do you know what I mean? Like, it just shows the amount of options that he has in the back row as well. You know.
Yeah. You said you reckon they'll beat Australia, guys. Australia are like come back into form again. Like, they're a decent side.
Australia are doing well. Yeah, Quade Cooper back at 10 and Curtly Beale's.
They don't know. They don't have Cooper, unfortunately.
Is
Cooper,
he
has to pull out because of the contract commitments with Japan. Like, he'd be emotional and post up. Like, so I think that could be, as you said, like you were saying there, if he was there,
yeah.
I think that could be the difference, as in. But when he came back in, they didn't lose a game when he came back in the Rugby Championship.
No, he just offers so much an attack, like moving guys, putting in guys into spaces. But yeah, that's a big loss now. I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
But England will also be missing Owen Farrell potentially because of getting COVID. Mm. He has to isolate for 10 days. So that obviously moves on to near the Australian fixture, I think.
Yeah, so it's not confirmed yet, like, but yeah, you'd imagine he'd miss it.
So that's a big,
That's
a big, but he missed on the weekend and there were still 69-3. So I can't see Australia beating England. I just think they're too good across the board. Yeah,
I agree with you.
If you'd Marcus Smith a 10 and Slade a 12 and Tuilagi a 13 or even Slade the other way around, like that ain't a bad 10-12-13 combination, is it?
Incredible.
But another really good win, a game from Le Blues France beating Argentina 29-20. And thought it was a really great match to watch. I haven't seen much of Argentina play and don't know much too much about them, but yeah. I thought they really put it to France. It was a great game.
Yeah, they started off well. Thomas Kubli came on and didn't come on. He started and he charged down Joubert.
Oh, yeah.
Scored a try early on.
It was a freak try.
Kind of shook French.
There's a dropout, yeah.
I saw the highlights and I just saw the 22 dropout, but like it seemed like he was very, very close to the 22.
A lot of people are saying that, yeah.
It's like he didn't see him there or something. Yeah. He just tried to win and kick it, but it was a great lockdown and try, obviously, from it. But just from the highlights, it looked like a very fiery game.
Yeah, it was.
Ben O'Keefe, the TMI, was a bit of a buzzkill, though. You know, what was he talking about half the time?
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on. See, I think what happened in that game is, like, Argentina love to get under your skin. If you ever watch those games, like, I'm sure you played against them. Like, they love a good scrap. You've got guys like Lavanini in there, like, who love to throw a dig. And 9 times out of 10, he's going to get a yellow card in the game. And things got a bit messy at the start. And then the TMO was coming in a lot. The referee was coming in a lot. And at one stage, there was 3 or 4 fights. And then the French guy, Anna, and Argentina, both of them got yellow cards. And there was nothing in it. It was just a push and a slap. He was just like, I'm sick of this fighting. Yeah, yeah. Both of them got yellow carded. So I think a lot of that was down to the Argentines. It was a fiery affair. Mm-hmm. You know, it really was.
Yeah.
Greg, you have quite a good backstory about one of the players you were telling me about earlier, Tamad Flamand.
Yeah. Thibaut Flamand. He's the second row for France. I don't know if you know this guy. He plays number 4 for France. He's only a young guy. 24, I think he is. He's a mad story. So he played for Belgium's rugby's underage teams coming up, and then he went to Loughborough University and he played for their fifth choice team as a fly half. And then, yeah, madness. And then he went to Argentina playing club rugby.
Okay.
And then he got brought back to England, got a contract with Wasps, and now signed for Toulouse in 2020, just got into the French squad.
So he's like 24 now.
So he's like 24. So he went from being a fly half.
Yeah,
in a fifth choice university.
To score a world day of a try against Argentina in front of a packed stadium in Stade de France.
He scored an incredible try, yeah.
6'8" out half. Like.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Would you always play like, did you play second all the whole way up or did you play any other positions?
Yeah, no, I played number 8 in the first year. Like, and then when I got to juniors, they were like, you will be the second row for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You're going in a second row.
No choice.
So Ireland is actually taking on Argentina in a fortnight. What are your chance? What do we think Ireland's gonna bring to the table against them?
People haven't really been talking about the Argentina game yet, have they? This is all just focusing on the All Blacks. So I think there's have to get by the big black team first.
Yeah.
Ireland Argentina is always a great game as well. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be fiery as well. Especially with the RGs. It'll be a great game.
Greg, you have a lot of experience playing against the Argentinas in the sevens, and you said that they're really good.
They are, they're incredible. I've played Argentina a few times, and as you mentioned there, they're just so fiery. Everything is just so personal against Argentina. You've probably played against
them. Yeah, I have.
They're just so hard. Everything's completely like emotional with them. But I would say the Irish camp hasn't even started to think about the Argentina game. No. It's All Blacks next week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the small matter of New Zealand.
And talking about New Zealand beating the Italy team 47-9, was it?
Yeah.
Huge win from them. And do you think it was a hammering that they gave Italy? You know, I thought it might have been a bit more points.
We were all excited. To be honest, no offence to Italy, I think we were all expecting a cricket score there, despite the fact that New Zealand like literally made 23 changes.
Yeah.
But like when you make 22 changes and you bring in someone like Dane Coles at hooker, you bring in Richie Mwanga at 10, I don't think it makes much of a difference. And Italy kind of hung on in that game for a lot of it. Like at half time, the score wasn't too high. 47-9 losing 47-9 to New Zealand. It's not huge, really. No. That's actually a good result for them.
Well, what's really good for Italy was that after half an hour, it was nil all, which is incredible. Like the whole All Blacks nil all for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Well, I was watching the Ireland game and then obviously I switched over at 20 minutes and it was nil all. I was like, what is going on here?
We're nil all after 30 minutes next week, lads. I think we take that, to be honest with you, I think.
But I think that comes from the changes. Because it was 23 changes, it was kind of a different team who haven't played together that much. So it kind of took 20 minutes, half an hour to kind of to get into it and get to know each other. To play an international test game.
Of course.
Together. Yep. It took a little while to click.
It looked like a bit of a B-side from the New Zealand squad. Do you think that was the case? Are they saving some of their players for us next week?
It's a bit hard to call it a B squad. Like they're all international All Blacks, you mean, as well. So, and they're all phenomenal players, so it's hard to say. But I think the team that they will play against Ireland next week will probably be the same as what they played in Wales, probably.
Yeah.
You would like to think, probably.
you know what it takes to beat the All Blacks. Sitting with a legend who has beaten the All Blacks.
Twice.
So twice.
Twice.
So you know what it takes. So what does it take? Do you think the team at the moment, the Irish squad, has what it takes to beat New Zealand next week? And who is your starting lineup?
Wow. Who's the starting lineup?
Big question.
First of all, I suppose what it takes. I think they do have what it takes to beat them. I think, first of all, you just need to, as I kind of said earlier on, you need to get every little thing, all the non-negotiables right. You just got to be able to hold on to the ball. You need to be able to kind of win collisions. You need to be, and set piece is huge. You need to be able to win your lineup ball. You need to be able to win your scrum ball and just hold on to the ball. You can't really be all these, you can't be knocking the ball on, you can't be dropping it, you can't be like getting little stuff wrong. So you need to get the little stuff right, and once everyone kind of gets that right and everyone starts clicking, then you have a chance, I suppose. So I think it's just getting that little stuff right going into the game, and set piece is going to be huge.
Can you remember much from, like, I'm looking back in that 2018 game, like, it's obviously I watch a lot of rugby, but I remember back a couple of years ago I had that recorder on the Skybox. I ended up watching that game like 5 or 6 times. There was just something about that game. Like, I've never seen Ireland come out with such intensity. Like, I remember in the first couple of minutes, you'd stand there and make that massive, huge turnover. And then, like, everyone just went crazy. The whole of you just went crazy. Then you had that big, massive tackle on...
Brody
Vitalik. And there was probably 20 of those moments. There was a big moment with Ty Furlong. There was a big moment with Aki.
Yeah.
Like... what was the feeling going into that game? Can you remember much? Like, you must have been absolutely just on fire, ready to just tear into them, because the intensity was incredible.
Yeah, it's a different animal going into an All Blacks game. You know, no matter what people say, it's the pinnacle of what you're going to do, I suppose. And because we had beaten them in Chicago, the kind of that monkey was off our back, so we were able to obviously just focus on, okay, we've done it once, we can fire on now. And it's the whole week just leading up to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you do a lot of video, you do a lot of stuff preparing for this, so you're kind of waiting for it, and you're just counting down. And then once it starts, you're just going hell for leather, to be honest. But going into it, I think we ticked all the boxes. We got our set piece right. We won the collisions, and just stuff started clicking for us. Mm-hmm. Do you mean? So we did that one try that Stockdale scores in the corner where he does the chip over. That was off the training park. So when stuff like that starts working for you, that's when you realise, okay, we're in a good space here, and you kick on, and then it's just
winning those mini moments.
Exactly.
As well.
And then it's just keeping them out. It's getting your defence right. You know.
Starting the game as you mean to go. I remember always, you know, if you started the game, those first couple of minutes are crucial. Do you know, that first take, whoever it is, they catch that ball, go forward, that's it, you're gonna have a good game.
Do we have a clip here actually of Johnny Sexton speaking about what he thinks ahead of the deal again, whether or not they can win it?
I don't think you'd ever say you're really confident about beating the All Blacks, because, you know, you need to get away from thinking about the results. You need to go and look after the process and make sure that you put out your very best performance, and that will give you a chance. If we don't do that, we've no chance. So all our focus will be on, obviously we'll do our analysis on them. You know, they've got some really dangerous players. They've got a good coaching team they've had some good results of late, and you know, we'll give them the respect that they absolutely deserve, but we got to concentrate on making sure that we give our best version of ourselves. You know, next Saturday, that'll be the most important thing.
It's a guy that looks like they feel in their bones that there's definitely a chance this weekend, without a doubt. Like, you have to feel that going into a game against New Zealand. Also, you have to feel that, okay, we can beat them. But, like, as you said there, we're going to have to talk about the start next week. I mean, we have to, I know it's going to be tough, but I mean, how many changes do you make from that Japan game?
Do you think it'll be the same team?
I think it'll be the same team. I think it's hard to look past anybody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but you look at the bench that we had for that game, and you look at Henderson, Pete, Murray, Earlsey, do you know what I mean? You could turn, like, anything with Keane Healy, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the one change you might see is Conor Murray might come in for 9, which is hard on Jemison because he played so well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It wouldn't really be fair, would it? Because he did play so well, scored a try, kicked really
exactly.
well.
But I know,
maybe it's because Murray is just what his box kicking, his set piece, as you said, set piece has to be good against New Zealand, and Murray just brings that more.
Yeah, you're going to say a tighter game against him as well. Like, and maybe. Yeah. Like, Jemison loves to kind of spread the ball. Like, you're going to see, he comes out and he carries the ball a lot. He runs sideways a lot, but he runs sideways because he wants to keep everything alive. Yeah. And that might necessarily work in New Zealand, maybe in the last half an hour.
And you know what, Jameson sometimes it helps. It comes to the detriment to some players. They're great off the bench. Yes. Do you know what I mean? Like, so he's done phenomenal work for us for Leinster. Like when kind of him and Lukey McGrath were kind of playing together. Like no matter which one of them starts, which one comes off the bench, they come off the bench and they just bring that extra little something. So he might be really good coming off the bench at like 55, 60 and kind of, you know.
And what do you think of Keith Ells coming in as a centre? You know, obviously, do you see him as an outside centre?
Well, like years ago when like he used to play 13. Do you mean?
Yeah, I think like Senior Cup and stuff. He was 13.
Know, yeah.
Where he was supposed to be O'Driscoll's replacement.
It was talked about him being O'Driscoll's as a replacement. Yeah, but then he just obviously became a winger, and Drickle kept playing for
not
years.
Not a bad winger either.
So yeah, no, it's great seeing him playing centre. He can play there. Do you know what I mean? He just obviously has done great for on the wing over the years, like, do you know what I mean? So,
and do you think he should start in the wing against New Zealand instead of James Lowe, because the defensive question over James Lowe there?
Like again, we said earlier on, I think it'd be very, very harsh on Lowe not to play or Conway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think they will stick with the same. Yeah. But again, if you bring Rosie in, he's going to bring something different as well. And he's proven, what has he got, 94 caps. He's been a phenomenal player for Ireland as well.
Yeah.
So it's no matter who comes in, do you know what I mean? I think they'll do a job. Like,
what's the build-up going to be like this week? What's it like? As you said, like coming into playing New Zealand, there's nothing bigger. Yeah. Is it the same kind of preparation, or like will there be that little bit extra bite in training, that little bit extra bite kind of just in general around the camp?
I think it'll be the same physical preparation. Training might have a little bit more of an edge to it. Although because they've just after played a test match, they might be Monday, Tuesday might be a little bit less kind of a bite to it, to be honest. Because if it's the same starting 15, they'll have to kind of take care of them for the first for Monday, Tuesday. And then I think they have Thursdays off. So they might train Wednesday and then have a Thursday off. But I'm not sure, because we used to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but I think they might have changed around a bit since I've left. it's just, there's a general air around the place that is such an important game week, you know, when it's an important game week. And I'm not saying Japan wasn't important, but it was the first one, and they were just kind of getting under belt. But I think everyone will know in the back of their mind that it's a huge game this week.
Yeah, you don't need a reminder, you're playing the All Blacks, I don't think.
Yeah, completely. So what do you think? How do you think they'll get on? Do you think that we could beat them?
I think absolutely, yes, we can beat them. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I think it'll be hard.
We can or we will.
As I said, I think we can win, yeah.
Yeah, we can.
The political answer, we can.
Yeah, we can. I just had a personal question. With the two wins you have against New Zealand, which one's your favourite?
Oh, nice.
It's hard to look by Chicago.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It was an unbelievable weekend.
It's a 5-year anniversary on Friday or something, wasn't it?
It was just gone. It was just a phenomenal experience. The whole week, obviously, because I think in Chicago the Cubs had just won for the first time in 105 years as well. Yeah. So the whole city was going bananas for that.
Wow.
It was the Friday before we were playing on the Saturday. They had a massive big parade, and it was something like the 6th or 7th biggest mass gathering of people ever, like, or something like that. Yeah. And there was like 3 million people or something in the city. We were staying in Trump Hotel. and we got brought up to the very, very top. It was, I think it's like the second or third tallest in America. And we got brought up, and you could see obviously the whole city. You see the 3 million people. It was a phenomenal experience. So just leading into it, and there was so many Irish around, obviously, because there's a lot of Irish in Chicago and a lot of Irish around. So there was so many green flags and jerseys going around the place, and you couldn't walk down the street without someone saying you're getting pictures written. So as an experience, it's something you'll never forget. Do you know what I mean? And then obviously to put 40 points on them in the game and play the way we did, and it was just something, obviously, I'll never forget. Like,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I can imagine the emotion, even the Foley tribute before, and I'd say kind of got you going even more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah,
I'd say that was something special.
I can't wait for the game next week. I just wanted to ask, do you have any tickets for this game? Have you got any connections? Yeah. Because I'm like looking at my phone, I was like, sure, he's at that. I was like, he's at this match. I'm sitting at home.
No. Okay, I think we'll look at contenders for Try the Weekend, guys, will we?
Yeah, yeah. And there was a couple of decent ones, obviously. I think the big one for me, I think we were discussing before, and my favourite try of the weekend here was Bundiacchi's try, because just everything that was in it. You know, as I said, as you mentioned earlier, like you had like the tight five getting involved, you'd passes been thrown, you'd offloads, you'd steps. It was like an All Blacks try.
Yeah.
You know?
Incredible skills from the forwards. That's what's most impressive to me. Like, yeah. Especially Jack Conan's there at the end, the last pass. Like that's not easy at that pace. No. Like, yeah, so that was a really good one. But another one for me was, we mentioned earlier, the second row for France, Flament, yeah. I think his name is. That's poor French accent out of me.
Flament. Hey, you've just been to Paris.
His try just was so good. Such a nice line, and he had to finish as well, go around the full back. Yeah. It's incredible from a second row to be doing
6 foot eight. Like, to move like that at 6 foot eight. Like, I'm not saying you couldn't move like that. I'm not saying you still can't move like that.
Yeah.
I have one as well from Andrew Conways. His first try was absolutely brilliant. James Lowe with the break, you know, offloading it then to Josh Van de Flair, then off to Bundiacchi in the middle, and that lovely grabber kick from the Gibson Park to score in the corner. I just think that was just, even just explaining it, it sounded great. Yeah, so that was my favourite.
It's class that we're not looking at like, oh, it's an amazing individual try. Like, these are class team tries that Ireland's scoring, where literally there's 8, 9, 10 guys getting involved in every try, and it's something we haven't seen. Like, I mean, you see it in a lot of the big teams. If you rely too heavily on your big players, your star players, you ain't going to get too far. You'll score, you know, your star player can run the pitch against a Tonga, for example. But up against the All Blacks next week, the All Blacks, you see them, like, everyone touches the ball when they score a try. Absolutely, everyone.
Exactly. Another try that really impressed me, which is kind of like a boring one, it seems like, but the Andrew Conway's one going down the right wing. Hugo Keenan's last pass there was like a 15-metre pass, and it was perfect at full pace. Mm. I just thought that was incredible skills after the move inside as well. So Ireland are in a great spot.
Yeah.
That's his seventh skills coming through, isn't it?
Yeah, it's from the sevens. Man,
I remember him taking a high ball as well at one stage where he like literally runs like 15 metres and jumps about 10 metres into the air. I'd love to see him in training like under the high ball.
It's Hugo.
Hugo Keane. He's something else.
No, he's brilliant. But, he's kind of not splashed onto the scene, but you know what I mean? He's played 14 games in a row now, and he's just been phenomenal the last year or two.
He got into that 15 jersey, he hasn't let it go.
He's not losing that jersey. You can't get him out. There's no way he's getting dropped. Like, he's in that. He's cemented that 15 jersey for a while.
Dev, so out of them four nominations, which one would you pick?
I think we said it earlier on, I think Bundy's try was a complete team try. Forwards, tight five getting on the ball, and Tadhg making a break, giving the ports and stuff, and then the hands from Jack into the corner. Like, Bundy didn't really have a lot of work to do for it.
Guys, we've only got one nomination for Jukebox Award this week. There was plenty of tackles in this, but there was one absolutely monstrous one. I don't know if you saw it. That was Sia Khaleesi on Tomás Williams in the Welsh game. The big box captain, he absolutely lifted him into the air.
I remember that actually. I saw the tweet.
There's a lot of images that go around with that, like, but I enjoyed
flying,
that one.
That's gonna be a meme.
Williams didn't do himself any favors wanting to try and tackle him like this.
You can't be going that high something
No,
I think that's the only jukebox we have, is it? Definitely the winner.
That's the winner 100%. You understand that moment, so I think you were talking about the Spain and Fiji game.
Yeah, so Spain played Fiji, and I wouldn't really know the 15 side of the Spanish team, but I know the 7 side, and they're really good athletes. They're really good at the 7 circuit, and they didn't nearly beat Fiji, but they were leading 10-0 at one stage, and then they're actually leading 13-12 at halftime. So Spanish rugby's coming up. They ended up losing 43-13 now to Fiji, but like, that's going to be that way. Like, Fiji are great, but it's cool to see like those second nations, third nations doing better, and rugby's just getting better overall.
Another big story this week, sad story I suppose, is Carl Heyman, the former All Blacks prop. Like, I mean, a lot of people, I was only talking to a few of my friends during the week, he's a guy that's like people looked up to growing up, like, because he was that good. He was just like, I look back and I remember Carl Heyman, and I think he was at one stage, he was the highest rated player in the world. But he's 41 years of age, and he's been diagnosed with early onset dementia. He's going to be part of that case where you're supposed to be suing World Rugby over concussion related injuries and whatnot. But sad to see, isn't it? Like, you don't get worried about things like that, do you know what I mean? Or do you think it's just a case by case basis kind of thing, is it?
Yeah, like, it's obviously very worrying to see, but I think you said it's very case by case. I think I've been very lucky over my career. I haven't really had any concussions. So many people, do you know what I mean? So it's, again, as I said, I've been very lucky. And again, it's just case by case. So it's incredibly sad to see, to see that something can happen. I think World Rugby have been doing their best over the last couple of years to obviously mitigate against that, and they've obviously the tackle height's coming down. They're doing everything they can.
So
it'll be interesting to see what comes from it.
Like 10, 15 years ago, I suppose, when you got concussed, it wasn't taken as seriously as it is now.
There was no HA or anything.
And I suppose I was listening to a podcast and they were saying, you know, these old school boys rugby were saying it was almost kind of a sign of weakness if you went off with a head injury back then, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously a lot has changed now. So in a way, it's great that he has taken this to the board and things are being done. You know, there's so many... you know, cases, and the RFU are brilliant at making sure that you're safe to play. Yeah. I've experienced it myself, but...
But even 15, 20 years ago, the way that they entered the scrums, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So they used to literally just go, like, straight in, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was... Obviously, you're going to get head collisions then, like, so it's...
World Rugby can only do as much as they could along the way. Like, they had to go with medicine. So I think at that time, they didn't even realise how bad concussions were.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not just in World Rugby as well. There's in the NFL, there's serious issues with early onset dementia with NFL players and things like that. So
it's scary.
It is so scary.
I did my thesis. I did a documentary on concussion and it looked into stuff like CTE and stuff. And I spoke to neurologists and I spoke to World Rugby and I spoke to the guys from NPro and whatnot. And some scary things and some interesting things. But I think... Definitely, as you said, if you do look back 10, 15 years ago, there was nothing being done. And it's probably come back to haunt now because rugby wasn't a safe sport back then.
No.
But it is now.
Yeah, I think people are doing everything they can. I think you can look, there's special headgear that people that as are wearing. I think in Leinster we're doing a trial now where we have GPS in a gum shield.
Yes, I actually read about that.
So that's what we're trying now at the minute. So I don't know, I haven't seen any results written from it yet. I think we've only tried it for one or two games. So
what measures the impact? Is it like in training you wear them the whole time?
Actually, the
women were wearing them at the weekend for the England and New Zealand game. They're wearing it for in training and everything like that for the next few weeks.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was on the BBC actually. They were talking about it. I think it's brilliant. Like, it's great to see.
Anything that's said, they're clearly putting the money in, they're clearly putting the research in. Like, but as I said, exactly. It's still unfortunate to hear things like this happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. So now, Devin, we asked social media for some questions and we got loads in with some great stuff. But the first one is a cracking one from someone you might know, Mike McCarthy. He asked, I'll give you the exact wording now. He goes, if Dev could be any animal, what would he be? And why?
Who got Jack McGarr responded and suggested a cat?
Oh, God. It had to be Macker. It had to be Jack.
Is there a story there? You're clearly pals with him.
No, there's no story. I think Macker used to go around telling people that I had a cat called Kevin. That was it. He just make up stories and just tell people like that was it. I don't know why it's called Kevin.
A cat called Kevin, such a random story to make up.
Yeah. Do I have to answer the question?
Hugo Main asked, if you weren't a rugby player, what would you be and why? He thinks you'd make a great shelf stacker.
Shelf stacker? I used to say I'd be a good window cleaner.
Seriously though, I feel like jokes aside. Like, I mean, if you weren't, like, is there anything you were more interested in when you were younger?
Seriously, yeah, no, I have no idea. I literally, like, I used to have an interest in kind of the science or the maths or whatever that would equate into now. I don't know, like, do you know what I mean? So I just kind of, from school, I started an arts degree and then I was like, dropped out of that because I just realized it wasn't worth it. And then I did a degree in sports management.
Okay.
Whether I would stay in sports, I don't know. Like, I obviously love being involved in it. So I don't know. Whatever happens, we'll see. But I don't know.
Ah, Dev, you were born, literally born to play rugby. I have a great one from Dan Lonergan. Asked, what was your greatest memory in the jersey? Now, he didn't say which specific jersey, so we'd love to hear one from your Leinster and your Irish jersey.
Yeah, okay, right. I suppose Ireland, I've been very fortunate to be involved in a lot of really good teams, I suppose. It's hard to pick one. Do you mean, we've talked about the Chicago already. The Chicago game against the All Blacks was huge. First cap in the Aviva was unbelievable in 2010. Winning the Six Nations in the Stade de France when we bet them in 2013. That was unbelievable. That was the first time I had been kind of a starter for Ireland, and winning the Six Nations over in the Stade de France, beating France, was brilliant.
Yeah.
Beating the All Blacks twice and first win in South African soil in 2016 was brilliant. And that was kind of huge for me because that actually happened 3 weeks after my dad passed away. So it was huge. Like, I'll never forget that. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's
but
it's not a bad catalogue of moments.
No, it's
amazing.
I suppose, again, we winning the tour down Australia 2018, first tour down Australia was huge. But if I'll pick one, it's hard to look by Chicago.
Yeah, to be honest.
That'll stick me forever.
Next question is from Lane MCG, is the username, and she wants to know who is the scariest lock you've played against. Now, you don't have to use the adjective scary.
It might be the correct term.
Scariest lock.
Toughest you came up with.
Like, I think the lock that everyone comes to mind, and for me as well, is Backy Spota.
Yeah.
So we played against him in Toulon, and he's a freak. He's phenomenal. I suppose skillful wise, I suppose Ali, played against Ali Williams as well. Ali Williams was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Played against Victor Matfield as well. So, but Backy Spota probably is up there. Yeah.
And following on from that question, who is the best second row you've ever partnered with and played
with?
You've been a lot.
Yeah. It's hard to look by Paul O'Connell. I've learned a lot from him, and when I got starting in the Ireland team first, it was kind of me and him in the second row, and it was brilliant because I was able to learn from him as a line-out caller. So like he was calling line-outs, so I was just learning from him. I didn't have to concentrate on line-outs then.
Yeah.
And then when he retired, I kind of took over as the caller. So I spent a good couple of years just learning off him and learning line-out calls and learning how he kind of did stuff like so. It was brilliant.
Not a bad guy to learn off in terms of line-off calling. One of the best ever. But moving on, certain Mike McCarthy is back again with a follow-up question. Mike, to be honest, there's probably about 20 questions that Mike is asking. We can only get a few of them in. Like, Mike got a bit trigger happy on Instagram the other day. But he wants to know who your best friend is.
It was Mike McCarthy. I don't hear from him anymore. He doesn't text me. He doesn't call me. He doesn't.
Mike, ever since
he retired, it's gone off the face of the earth. Like so, yeah.
And he wants. He's got a follow up then as well as who is the person that you turn to for advice just to keep you grounded.
I'm hearing it in his voice, so I know it's not serious. Yeah. But if it was someone else, it'd be a serious question. I'd be like, okay, yeah, yeah.
This is a serious question. Okay. So you've given us your favourite memory. Do you have any career regrets?
Any career regrets?
Yeah.
Tough one.
That's a tough one.
Tough ones, yeah. Probably most notably recently was losing to La Rochelle in the Champions Cup there last year. So that was probably a huge one for us. It was hard because obviously there was no crowd over there or it's not that we went in probably underprepared, but it was just they kind of came with intensity that we weren't ready for, and probably losing that was probably up there.
What about a personal one? Personal career regret?
Personal. I'm trying to think.
That's great.
It's not a bad career.
You don't even have to have any.
Do you know what? When we lost to the All Blacks in 2013 in the Aviva, do you remember in the last play of the game?
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Jesus.
What happened?
Heartbreaking.
There was something that I gave away a penalty to kick 3 points. But I think my stud just caught in the ground and I tripped and I fell into somebody. But he thought I was blocking someone getting through to block down a kick. So I gave away 3 points for that. And then they kind of got back into it.
So that
sticks in my mind. Yeah.
That's just unlucky.
I know.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
He's like, I tripped. I didn't really know.
Completely unintentionally. Yeah. Next question we have for you is the best piece of professional advice you've ever been given.
Oh God!
You could have prepared me for these.
Like.
Yeah. Even just advice in general, something that you might live by, like that always kind of sticks with you, rather than just professional advice.
No, there's nothing. No one specific advice. It's just literally you've got to do your work. I think when it comes to my position, when it comes to the second row's position, it's you got to be prepared. And if you're not prepared for the game, you're in all sorts of bother. Do you know what I mean? So I need to do my work. And if I haven't done my work, I know I'm not going to prepare. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Especially with lineouts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a lineout caller, you need to know where the space is going to be and you need to know where you're going to win the ball because it's so important. The set piece is so important these days. Yeah. So literally, if I haven't prepared for the week, I know I'm in bother. So I think it's literally just be prepared and just work hard, basically.
There's been a lot of pressure on you. Because I remember looking back over the years, like, any game, if Ireland lose or if they're just about winning or something, the first thing fans complain about, the lineout was crap.
Yeah, everyone was good. Mastered the lineout.
Toner should have been in there. Toner shouldn't have been in there. Yeah. Paulie should have been in there. And they list out six locks and go, oh, well, we needed a jumper in there. We needed this guy. And everyone's suddenly professional.
Or they blame the hooker.
Or they blame the hooker when there's so many moving parts.
So many moving parts. Yeah. There's the throw, there's the jump, there's the lift, there's the D, there's the defense, there's everything. Do you mean? So it's everyone's looking for something.
Yeah, yeah. Next one is from myself. I suppose you're going into your 16th season with Leinster now. Lock is a position. You look at someone like Brad Thor, and you look at Simon Shaw, even look at Alan Wynne-Jones now, playing well into their late 30s. Some of them, even Shaw was in his 40s still playing on. What do you see? You're just going to keep playing until eventually you see that's it? I mean, if it comes down to a situation where maybe it might not work out with Leinster, would you continue playing abroad, or would you... Like, you just want to keep playing rugby until your body gives up and says, I can't play anymore?
No, do you know what? I'm really enjoying the rugby at the minute. I'm signed on for the rest of this year. Yep. So whatever happens at the end of this year, I'm not sure. But I think I'm not going to think too hard about it. I'm going to see how this year goes, see how what sort of game time I get, see how it goes, and see how I'm feeling at the end of the year. So I'm not going to commit to anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to look too far. Do you know what I mean? So if it comes to the end of the year and I'm feeling good in my body and I feel I can go on and I can feel I can do a job somewhere else, I'll definitely look. If Leinster want to keep me on, I'll obviously weigh up all options. So I'm not going to look too far into the future.
And you're still playing good rugby, do you know what I mean? Don't see why not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why didn't you want to do it?
Absolutely.
So Dave, another question for me, just personal kind of interesting question that I was wondering is, I hear you have a size 15 foot, yeah? Where do you buy your shoes? You can't walk into, honestly, I really wanted to know.
I do have a size 15. Adidas are very good at getting me boots and runners, I suppose, as well. Yeah, but walktall.co.uk.
Really?
It's very easy to get them these days online. I can never walk into a shop and buy them, though. I always have to get online.
Walking into Lifestyle Sports and looking for size 15.
That's what I was thinking.
No, you're not going to get them very easily.
No.
You have the power to get what you want. You can just call someone up and make us a 15.
I had some hassle when I was growing up, because I was 15 when I was 15 years old. So it was in school. It was very hard.
Before you were a superstar and you could get onto Adidas. It was tough to get sending the man down to get you a pair of shoes for school.
Were you 6'11 when you were 15?
6'10. No, so I was 6'10. I was 6'10 in school, so when I was about 17, I was about 6'10.
Wow. That's incredible. Man.
Yeah. So that's when the rugby player was like, you're a second row.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love to be 6 foot. I'm under 6 foot. I'm 5'10 and a bit. I'm like, why can't I just have an extra? And this guy going around 6'11.
The magic number, 6 foot.
Oh, man. That's so good. Yeah, I'm jealous.
So we're going to take a look at the social media, what the guys have been saying over on Twitter. There's a lovely one from Simon Zebo. There's a picture here. Such a great smile with really a 100 on the back. Do you remember that match? When was that?
Which game is that?
That looks like one of the New Zealand games.
Looks like one of the older jerseys.
Just on that, lads, that's something we've completely forgotten about. I mean, I don't think he's going to get a chance now because he's been out so long to get in for the New Zealand team, but it's a guy. I mean, surely he must get a run out against Argentina. He's not going to bring him back into the squad and not give him some game time. I know there's ridiculous background or ridiculous back competition three. In that back three. Mm-hmm. But I think
you'd like to think he'd get a shot. You'd love to see him back in the team. He does have experience of beating the All Blacks. It'd be good to see him get at least one game back anyway. Yeah,
I don't think they bring Zebo back from France just to play with Munster. I think the Irish few have a plan for him, and hopefully we see him, because I think he's playing unbelievable. When he was in Racing, he was one of the best players in top 14. So I hope he gets out there again in the green jersey.
He just scores tries. That's it. He just knows where the child end is, and he's versatile. He can play full back, he can play on the wing, and he plays with a smile on his face.
He probably brings quite a lot to the camp, doesn't he? Does he? Is he quite fun and gets everyone going?
Absolutely. Yeah. I haven't been in a camp with him for years now.
He was a messer though back in the day.
No, he's a messer, obviously. what does he go on about? His cartel.
Yeah, that's it. Except himself and Murray, isn't it?
Him and Murray, and Conway's probably in there as well.
We were chatting about Andrew Porter earlier on. Obviously, seeing him switching back to Loosehead again. But I think something that's a bigger talking point is his lovely haircut this weekend. Lion's mane, or sorry, horse's mane. What am I saying? I mean, he's got some serious growth there. He's rocking a new haircut every couple of months.
Don't know how he does it. Every couple of weeks he has a ridiculously new haircut, and it's you need growth for it as well.
I think he's getting so much media attention from social media. Everyone just loves him, the fans. So maybe that's why.
I think we were talking about the game changing. Yeah. Like, a prop would not have got away with that haircut 10 years ago. Yeah, that is a fact. Yeah, no way. No. You'd be getting a buzz cut too with the sides or whatever it is.
But he plays well enough to have haircuts like that. He's an incredible player.
I mean, look, he was picked for the Lions over the summer. Unfortunately, he got that injury. Like, I mean, that's a guy who's... I think that's our front row going forward. Like, and that's no offences to guys like Dave Kilcoyne and so forth, how they're playing well. And like, when you've got Porter there, and he's doing the same at the weekend. Porter's only, 23, 24. Mm. Then you've got Keller, 23, 24 again. And what age is Tighe? 26.
Yeah, he's 29, I think.
Is he 29 already?
I think so. He's got 50 caps already. Like,
yeah. Well, like 29 for Tighe, it isn't old. That's our front row for a while.
He's versatile. He goes, plays both sides of the scrum, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, so he's been tight-head for the last couple of seasons, but I think this season he's going to focus a bit more on loose head.
That a hard thing to do?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's harder to go from loose head to tight-head than it is tight-head to loose head. From what I hear, because I think Keane was trying a bit of tight-head as well with Leinster, and I think he found it tough, but he did phenomenally well because he's a bit of a freak. But I think he's back in loose head now, but. I think they were just experimenting over the last couple of weeks.
And do you pick Healy or Porter to start against New Zealand?
To start against New Zealand, I would stick with the same team.
Yeah, you're going with that again.
Yeah, yeah. Political.
Keane Healy looks in great shape, doesn't he?
No, he is. Obviously, Keane, as I said, he's a bit of a freak as well. Yeah. He's got 110 caps, 109 caps?
Yeah.
For a guy that was injured for so long, it's to still have that amount of caps is incredible. Exactly.
Didn't he have the serious injury where he couldn't open his hand?
Yeah, he did. He was close to retiring, I think.
Yeah.
He couldn't. He didn't have any feeling down the side of his arm or something about the nerve or something. Thankfully, he got better. Yeah.
I heard he had to tape open his hand for games and stuff. And
he couldn't open his hand. So he used. I think his mom made him a glove or something something like that. It was sewed this back so he was able to.
That is absolutely insane. Moving on to our final talking point from the fan zone. Fellow second row, Courtney Laws. I don't know if you saw that. Like, we don't have a clip, unfortunately. But he was phenomenal for the Lions over the summer. He came in as a late captain. We have a tweet here. Courtney Laws takes a bow. He'd no right to go back and make that. Courtney Laws take a bow. He'd no right to go back and make that try-saving tackle. Have a look at where he started from, where the instep happened. 99% of people wouldn't bother chasing back. Now, that's a game you look at. It's Tonga. They're destroying him, right? It's not the biggest game in the world. You've already got one. You're a bloody second row forward slash lock. You're a British and Irish Lion. And he's chasing the winger back. Like, literally the full length of the pitch almost, and tackles him in the very corner. But
as you said, he was captain for the game.
Yeah.
And captains want to lead by example, and he's doing that for everyone else on the team to show that he's putting the work in. You know, it doesn't matter who you're playing against. You know, so it's just huge for a captain to show that grit.
Lads, I've got some crazy news here, some breaking news. Let's see, we're filming this on a Sunday.
Scotland.
Scotland have beaten Australia 15-13.
No way. Wow. Oh my God, that's unbelievable.
So I think that's Scotland. A game. I don't think we expected that, but I think we said, they've lost Cooper and stuff.
Yeah.
But still.
What was the weather like?
It was on in Scotland, wasn't it?
I think we're still finished here now. I'll be watching it. But that's great for Scotland. It just comes down to whether they can back it up, because Scotland love. Every now and then, throwing out a big victory, they can come out and they can beat Ireland or England or Wales on any given day when they want to. But then suddenly they'll show up the next week and they'll get beaten by 30 points. But they have a good team as well. How many Lions did they have over the summer? 7 or 8 Lions there. So it's interesting.
They're very good, Scotland, 100%.
Yeah. We're also finding out as well that Owen Farrell has been cleared. So he'll be good. Okay. So that's a bonus for them. So I think we finally might get to see the Marcus 10 at 10 and Farrell at 12, maybe in Tulangi at 13 or Slade at 13. I don't know. It could be an interesting
one. There's so many ways they can play that. Yeah.
They have a nice backline.
I'd love to see Marcus Smith getting some more minutes. I just think he's incredible skills. The way he plays for Harlequins is just amazing. He offers a lot more stuff than I think Owen Farrell does in attack. But Owen Farrell is Owen Farrell.
Owen Farrell is Owen Farrell, but Smith deserves a chance in there. He's class. He's absolutely class.
Top class.
Yep.
Well, I think it's been such a great show. I'm really, really looking forward to next week and everything we're going to be talking about with New Zealand. Fantastic.
Hopefully a win.
Definitely a win.
Thanks very much, Deb, for being a great guest.
I'm delighted to be here.
Thanks again to our sponsors, Bank of Ireland, proud supporters of the 4 Irish provinces. We'll be back again next week, hopefully talking about a win over the mighty All Blacks.
Joe presents House of Rugby. United Rugby Championship, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the 4 Irish provinces.